Continuing our series on the cross, and this morning's topic is the cross changes our heart's pursuit. Before you were saved, your pursuit was different than it is today, at least it ought to be, amen? We sought different things, we had different motivations. We had different ideas about success. We pursued in a different way, in a different direction. Our text is 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter wanted to declare to these scattered believers the incredible benefit they received from Christ's redemptive work on the cross. In verses 1 through 8, he makes it very clear these things that they received that became theirs. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. He said they received great blessing. Amen? Blessing upon blessing. You know, if we took our time and took out a piece of paper this morning, each one of us, and spent the rest of this hour writing down what God has done for us, we would have a myriad of things on paper that we could share about the blessings of God. Peter said to them in verse 3, you received great blessing. He also says in verse 3, they received a new and living hope. A hope that's alive, not dead. This isn't the kind of hope that you hope about. This is the kind of hope that is definite, amen? And it's a live hope, a living hope. The moment you receive Christ, your spiritual deadness came alive in Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 4, he tells them that they will have an eternal inheritance. Haven't got it yet, but you're going to get it, amen? Chapter 1 and verse 5, he tells them that they're kept by the power of God. You're not going to be lost. You can't lose your salvation. You're secure in Christ, not because you're kept by anything you do, but you're kept by his power. Chapter 1 and verse 8, he says that we are given the wonderful privilege of rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory, all God's people said. In verses 13 through 22, Peter wants them to see the great change of heart brought about by the cross that they received the moment they received Christ. They received all that the cross did. This morning, we want you to focus on, or I would like us to focus on, verses 17 through 22, where Peter gives us three new, gifted to us conditions that we now have due to the cross. You didn't have these before you were saved. God gave them to you and established you in them the moment you received Christ. You now have a different kind of heart. That has been changed. In fact, we could call this section heart changes. And because of the cross, God changed our heart. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new, and that includes a heart. Amen. The heart change is an incredible thing, but it doesn't happen without the cross of Christ. So the cross of Christ changes the heart. Number one, notice this. The cross changes our heart position. Our heart's position. Before our heart was changed by Christ, it looked at things differently. It desired things differently. It was selfish. It loved selfishly. But the moment that we received Jesus Christ as our Savior and He applied the work of the cross to our heart, it changed. It changed dramatically. The cross changes our position. Verses 17 and 18, let me read them to you. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, then here's what you need to do, we need to do. We need to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. That word fear is reverence. If Christ is the one who judges, if Christ is the one who came to us, if we now have the Father in heaven as our Father, then we need to honor Him with reverence. Amen? That's what that verse is saying. Notice number one, the cross changes our heart's position from alienation to acceptance. From alienation to acceptance. We were away from God. In fact, we were alienated from God. Colossians 1:20, we were at one time alienated from God, the God of heaven. It not only changes our heart from alienation to acceptance, but this position now places us in a new position. We are accepted in the Beloved, all God's people said. I love the fact that it says, if ye call on the Father, we call on the Father, we call on the Father. Remember Jesus, the disciples of John came to Him in the 11th chapter of Luke and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father. Paul uses a word, Abba, Father. The word Abba could be translated daddy. It's not a bad word. It's a wonderful word. He's our spiritual Father. God is our Father. And the moment you received His Son as your Savior, you went from alienation to acceptance, and you received acceptance in the Beloved, that is Jesus Christ. The cross changed our heart position from a life of dishonor to a life of reverence. Do you realize that before you were saved, you could not reverence God? In fact, we were anti-God. You were of a different family. In fact, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they were going on and on and on and about how religious they were, and He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and you do his works. Before we were saved, we were in a different family. But when we got saved, we got a new father and a new family, new brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all new, and it's a wonderful thing. We went from a life of dishonor to a life of with the ability to reverence God, honor Him, praise Him by singing and praising and reading His Word and sharing with others and living a life of holy living for Him. We reverence Christ. We reverence God. And it says, if He is your Father, you're to reverence Him in verse 17. The cross changes our heart's position. Thirdly, from Satan's family to God's family, all God's people said. The cross changed our heart, our heart's position from darkness, number four, to light. You walked in darkness before you were saved. Now you walk in light. Amen? The cross illumined our minds, lit them up. So when you look to Christ, you see your Savior. Before you were saved, you may have looked to Christ and saw a man. Or a person with a big question mark after his name. Or a person who really didn't do much for you. You never entertained much thought of him at all. But when you came to Christ, you were illumined. Your mind was lighted, if you please, so that you could see him in his full glory. And then we can shine for him. Matthew tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify you, no, glorify your Father which is in heaven. The cross changed our heart's position. Listen to verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things and as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You weren't saved by those Jewish traditions. You weren't saved by following their path. But you were saved with the precious blood of Christ. You were purchased. You were bought. You went from darkness to light in receiving Christ. The second thing I want you to know is the cross changed our heart's provision. This is probably one of the greatest verses in the Bible, and we just jump through it. In fact, we'll read it this morning, and you may not see it at first, but listen to verse 20. The cross changes our heart's provision. Verse 20 says, for verily, who verily was foreordained, that's an interesting word, before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Now the you there is you and I. The Bible says that he was foreordained. That's an interesting word. And often in the Bible it means that to know beforehand. But it's a much broader meaning here, a much deeper meaning here. And you need to catch it in order to get the sense of this verse. It doesn't just mean that he knew before. It means that he planned, decided, chose, before the world was. He did this, set it all in motion. It was fixed because it was done by the counsel of God. Now listen very carefully. That Christ would come. He would be manifested for you. And he planned this before the world was. Did you get that? Before there was ever a world, before God created one single thing, He planned a plan that would manifest His Son for you. So He had you in mind before the world was, all God's people said. That's unbelievable. Foreordained. The word manifested means, in this verse, to display something of extraordinary value or worth. To put it on display. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time, verse 1:18. The only beloved, listen very carefully, who comes from the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. That declared is the same word, manifested Him. When Christ stepped out into the world and His ministry began, they saw the God who they had never seen. He manifested Him. And it says that this was going to happen in these last days. The word last days is the phrase that's often used for the dispensation of the gospel. Or we could call it the age of grace. These last days began the moment Christ entered the world at His birth, and they're not going to stop until Christ comes back again to get us and take us to heaven, all God's people. These last days. So His manifestation is going to take, is going to go from birth to death to resurrection to ascension to coming back again, all God's people said. For the sake of you, He says. I love that phrase. For your sakes. For you. For you. He did it for you. That should take us a long way down the road to serve Him. For you. It's incredible provision. I think of five things that were manifested in Christ. Number one, certainly His birth was a manifestation of God's foreknowledge back before the world began. Who could have thought of that? Who would have thought of that? Why wouldn't you have sent an angel to do that? Why wouldn't you send the greatest angel in heaven and send him down to call every man to repentance? Because an angel can't die for a man. A man can die for a man. But the man that dies for a man must be a perfect man. Virgin birth. Amen? He was manifested at His birth. He was manifested when He was being baptized by John. Do you remember? And John looked up and they saw a dove descending and lighting upon Christ, and then they heard this voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That must have rang through that area, that valley area where they were baptizing in the river. That must have been some kind of thing. Did you hear that thunder? No, it was a voice. What did that voice say? This one that you're baptizing, this one whose shoe lasts you're not even fit to unloose, this one is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Manifestation of God's own approval. There was a manifestation through His work on the cross. We can't deny that. He hung on the cross, looked into that crowd who had just nailed him there, did not hiss or cry out or blame, but he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Only God could act in such a way. He was manifested, and the cross was one of those manifestations. It took him down from the cross, wrapped him up as quickly as they could because the Passover was coming, and they rushed him to an unmarked grave of Joseph of Arimathea. They laid him there in that tomb, rolled the stone, and left. He was dead. Now what? Well, after 3 days' rest, all God's people said, he rose from the dead. Without weakness, without some kind of tortured feeling, without having to recover over a period of months, he rose as clearly alive as a person who had just gotten up in the morning. And he walked out of that grave as a resurrected Savior. That was a manifestation. First Corinthians 3, 21 through 23. Tells us this. One of the manifestations was the incredible joy of those who would look to the Savior and come to Christ and receive all that God had for them. In fact, the Bible verse that I was talking about says this: all things are yours. You are Christ's, and Christ's is God's. All things are yours. You are Christ, and Christ's is God. I think of a fifth thing. You were adopted. I remember years ago at the old Union Gospel Mission in Sacramento, I was just a young man. And I had just sung there and preached. When I was done preaching, a young man, maybe 20 years old, in terrible conditions, the best I could say, wanting in everything, clothes were dirty, shoes were falling off his feet, hair was matted. He'd been living on the street for some time, and he said, "I have nobody. My mama died when I was little. My dad never was around. My brother's gone. I don't know where he is. Nobody. Nobody cares about me." I looked at him and I said, "Somebody does care about you. In fact, there's a father I know who would love to adopt you." He said, "What? I'm 20 years old." I said, "Age doesn't matter. There's a father who would love to adopt you." He said, "Where does he live?" I said, "He lives in heaven. And he wants to make you one of his children. He wants to forgive you all of your sin and cleanse you and clean you up from inside out. He wants to make you a brand new person. He said, "How does he do that?" I said, "By you surrendering to him, making him Lord of your life." That young man came to Christ. Folks, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in the world that need to know that somebody cares about them. And here's the incredible news. You were one of those somebodies. When Christ came to save you and change your life and adopt you into his family, that was one of the manifestations that God foreordained before the world ever began. There's one third thing. The cross changes our heart pursuit. When you get Christ, you get a different attitude. When you get Christ, your direction changes. When you get Christ, your pursuit is something that you never would have planned, you never would have done, had it not been for Christ. There was a man and his wife in Canada who, I don't know, I guess they were in their early 40s, they got saved. And he was a farmer, crops. And once he got saved, when he planted, his crops would just took off. Amen? Man, he thought this was great. He bought more land, planted more crops. Bought more land, planted more crops. I mean, he was making money hand over fist. God was working in his heart and began to talk to him about surrendering his life and going to the mission field. I said in my head, "Are you crazy? Look what, I can give you lots of money, I can take care of the church, I can do so much more this way, da 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 da." And so, the rain came. And it rained on the fields, all around his house. But it didn't rain once on his field. Not once. He called the agriculture people and said, "This is crazy. It rains over here, but it doesn't rain here." When the sun came out, it burned his crops. Rain came, it didn't fall on his field. He was losing money hand over fist. And it finally dawned on his brain that God had something for him, so he said, "All right, we surrender. We'll do whatever you want." They ended up going to northern Canada and becoming missionaries to Inuit Indians and serving God there. In fact, as far as I know, they're still there. They were in our church, told this testimony. We just laughed how God changed his pursuit. Changed the direction of his life. What's our pursuit? Look at verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls." That word purified is the word we get cleansed, but it means more than just to wash up after dinner or wash up before dinner. It means to take a complete bath. In fact, it means to wash inside and out. You purified your hearts. How'd you do that? Through obedience to the truth of the gospel, it says here. When you came to Christ and you heard the word of the gospel, you accepted what the Bible says about you and about God's work and about the cross. And the moment you did that, you became obedient to the truth of the gospel. Your sin was cleansed. You were washed in pure water. His death, burial, and resurrection were effected for you. Romans 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth profession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This salvation that we received through obedience gives our heart a new pursuit. Our hearts, listen very carefully, what are we pursuing? Our hearts now pursue unfeigned love. Now that word means sincere and deeply committed love. Now that you're saved, you can have and show a sincere and deeply committed love. Not just to God, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ and others that are around us. We can have a sincere and deeply committed love. In fact, this kind of love, you need to write this down. This little statement, this kind of love sees the worth of every man. Our enemies, yes. Those we disagree with, yes. Our political differences, yes. We don't have to agree with their philosophic belief, but we need to love them, and in loving them, we see their value. All God's people said. Everybody is important to God. We see the worth of every single individual. Just three thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, unfeigned love. A person, listen to this, a person with unfeigned love has access to your heart. A person with unfeigned love has access to your heart. They break down all the barriers. They break down all the differences. And you realize for the first time, this person sees my heart. He doesn't see my color, my occupation, my direction. He sees my heart. And when somebody has access to your heart, they've won you. A person with unfeigned love has access to your heart. Here's the second thing about that. Unfeigned love comes from God. It cannot be conjured up. It cannot be bought. It cannot be borrowed, and it cannot be pretended. How many thousands of people every day say, I love you, and you know sincerely they do not love you. It's kind of an addendum to a remark we may make. Oh, your hair's messed up, but I love you. It cannot be pretended. Because unfeigned love is the real thing. It's the agape love of God. From God, through you, to you, through you, to others. There's one third thing about this love. This love is developed, listen very carefully. This love is developed through committed and costly involvement in the lives of others. The Good Samaritan. This love is developed through committed and costly involvement in the lives of others. What good is a love if it doesn't cost you anything? The cross changed our heart pursuit. Thank God for the cross. Lord, help us to look to the cross, live our lives in its fashion. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.